Welcome back, everybody, to Under the Microscope, where we dissect the art of basketball. I'm Yosef Ushak from Valley Basketball Skills Training.
I'm Coleman Ayers from Binding Means Basketball.
And today we're going to talk about a topic that a lot of guys have asked us about and a lot of guys have gone through whether they know it or not. And that topic is going to be overtraining. So Coleman's done a ton of research. It's going to be kind of one of those rant episodes that we have where Coleman just goes deep into the research that he has and just teaches you guys as much as he can about that. You want to take it off?
Yeah, so we have gotten a lot of questions about this, and we probably haven't gotten enough questions about this considering how prevalent it is in basketball players that I see, and really youth athletes in general. And I think among dedicated basketball players, which you probably are if you're listening to this, or coach, in which case you would coach these dedicated basketball players, especially the ones who aren't elite yet, but even in those elite players, I see more overworking than underworking. The reason why I say not elite yet is because a lot of these players that aren't at the top yet, they see that they kind of have to make up for that, and they just work themselves into the ground. Whereas the guys who are elite, one, they're naturally gifted, but two, they've kind of gotten there through working a little bit smarter. So the kind of thought that working out 8 hours a day is going to help isn't really something that I like to see like in the mainstream kind of media and social media and culture, because a lot of these coaches will kind of preach that the more time you put in, the better. And you see this a lot where players will be at the gym all day long, but at the end of the day, they're not really putting in that same level of intensity work that you would like to see. So for me, it's more the more high quality work, the better. But we'll get into that. So I kind of want to preface this whole episode by saying that you hear NBA guys all the time saying that they work like I said, 8 hours a day as a kid or whatever it may be. And there are kind of two reasons why you should pretty much just completely disregard this. One, they're probably lying. I've been around pros. I've been around future pros. And at the point where they're saying that, oh, I worked out for 8 hours a day, I mean, they could be telling the truth. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and kind of try to argue them if they're telling the truth. But they've kind of earned the right to justify their work ethic because they're in the NBA. So them saying, yeah, man, I trained 6 hours a day back in high school, people are going to believe it because they're at the top. So they can kind of say that. So just kind of take when they say that with a grain of salt. Also, not everyone is Kobe or MJ or any other player that's work so extensively on their game. Like, these players probably did go for an insane amount of hours, but they were going hard the whole time. And chances are you can't do that, not because you're not motivated or really have that same drive, but because everyone's different. Everyone's body is different. Some people's bodies can withstand way much more. And hence the reason why they're so great. Kobe and MJ were able to work extensively. Yes, because of their motivation, and they pushed their bodies, but more so because their bodies were just so genetically gifted to be able to withstand such a high training load.
And another thing on top of that, I think, is a lot of high schoolers or younger players that look up to these greats that say they work 8, 9, whatever, however many hours per day. Mm-hmm. The type of work they're doing on a daily basis isn't always the hard, intense, and very difficult type of work that we perceive it to be. A lot of the times they count their recovery work, they count their low energy or low intensity work, where they're just like getting up shots or just doing some foam rolling or ice baths or whatever the case is, or whatever it is. They count that within that amount of time they're working towards their goal, because it is a type of work for sure, but it's just not the type of work that leads to overtraining. It's kind of combating overtraining, actually. So
yeah,
that's also something that needs to be taken into consideration when you hear these athletes say the number of hours they'd be working.
Yeah, because, I mean, probably out of those 6 hours, let's say, probably maybe three of them were on the court, maybe four, I guess. Especially as NBA players start to get older, they start to realize, like, during their summers they can't go as hard. But maybe as a kid, even four of those hours were on the court. Maybe two of them were really the intensity we're looking for. Maybe one more was like kind of getting up reps a little bit in a little bit less of an intense manner. And then the other hours just probably overboard, which thankfully didn't hurt them too much because they're in the NBA. But Even then, I feel like those players were probably overtraining. And this problem really only gets amplified with the amount of basketball that young players play these days. And you hear it all the time, AAU basketball camps, you know, players just playing too much basketball, right? It's somewhat of an epidemic at this point, and it's not only a chronic effect by wearing down these players' bodies and minds before they even get to high school, really, but it's also an acute effect by putting players in this awful cycle of overtraining. So that's a little bit what I'm going to talk about. What overtraining is, what it can cause negatively, maybe some benefits that it could have, not necessarily overtraining, but pushing yourself to that brink, and then how you can measure it and how we can avoid it. So basically the scientific basis of it is we put stress on our bodies, purposefully or non-purposefully. That could be in the weight room, that could be on the court, that could be in the classroom. Obviously, like I mentioned on another episode, our body perceives stress in an extremely similar way to any other type of stress. So either way, we're going to experience a drop in performance like you would after a hard workout. So you go hard in the weight room for an hour. After that, you're tired. You feel like you're not at 100%. That's just simple common sense. If you've done that before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So as we recover from that stressor, our bodies are going to bounce back to an even higher level of performance than they were prior to that. Because we're basically thinking, all right, so we're going to have to deal with this stressor. We're going to have to get stronger or better, whatever it may be, so we can be better suited to deal with it. And everyone kind of knows this. It's just the general adaptation syndrome, that is essentially the basis of lifting and being in the weight room, whatever it may be. But like I said, that takes a bit of time, which is why we take a day or two or three off in between strength workouts. If we apply that next stress before we can fully rebound to baseline or above that, we're likely still in that suboptimal range where we're lacking our full optimal performance levels, and our body is still recovering. So that next stress is gonna push you even further and further into that low performance zone. So think of it, you're at like 100%, right? When you do a workout, you go down to 80%, you start coming back up. If you do it the right way, you're gonna go back up to 105% and then redo the cycle, go up another 5% to 110%. But when we're overtraining, we may get up back to 95% or even lower than that, and we put stress upon ourselves again, and then we go even lower and lower each time. So it's, think of it kind of as like a wave that goes down and then up, and if you don't let it get to its peak first, or at least to back up to 100%, you're going to be at risk for overtraining. And if you do that every single workout, you're going to be so far in that zone of overtraining that you not only can't perform at your highest level, which I'm sure a lot of you guys are worried about, performance, but you guys probably will be more likely to get sick, to get injured, to get stressed out, to do poorly in school, to do poorly with your relationships, whatever it may be. So you may be thinking like, well, that's mainly for athleticism. That's kind of like a weight room idea, building strength. But on court, I'm sure you guys are having this thought right now, isn't it basically the more the better in terms of learning a skill? In theory, yes. If your body didn't experience fatigue, and as we all know, that fatigue comes pretty quickly with basketball, we could go all day. Imagine if you didn't get fatigued playing basketball. People would be in the gym all day long. You could get a little bit mentally tired, but there wouldn't be much of a problem. So it's something like chess, or obviously nothing against chess. It's just a completely different nature of activity, I guess. You can go for longer. You can really practice for long periods of time because you're not experiencing hundreds of thousands of pounds of force per session that you're going through, per workout session. And that's the thing about basketball, is that it's inherently athleticism-based. We have a lot of impact every time we play, and it's skill-based. So it requires a pretty fine balance of the two. And because we only have so much time on the court before we get into that overtraining zone, we have to be really, really careful. And we have to know the signs of overtraining and know how we can what we can do to mitigate this. And if you're asking what are the signs of overtraining, what are you going to be feeling when you're overtraining? You may be overtraining right now and you don't know it, but you're going to be surprised at some of the things that this can do. It's something that should be taken really seriously, not just something like, oh, I can push through this. Because if you try to push through what's actually considered to be overtraining syndrome, not just a little fatigue, it's going to affect not only your entire central nervous system, but so much more. So you're going to be surprised. So I'll just list off a couple of the symptoms. You may have experienced these before, may have not, but definitely look for these in your daily life as you're going throughout your workout. So one, on a little bit more scientific level, but it's gonna kind of tie into everything else that we talk about. Your testosterone levels are gonna go down and your cortisol levels are gonna go up. So these are two very prominent hormones in our body. And cortisol is many times coined the stress hormone. If we consistently have high cortisol levels, it's gonna be harder for us to recover. Our immune system is gonna be suppressed. So we're gonna get sick more often and we're simply gonna be less happy. Plus we're gonna be in a catabolic state, which means we're breaking down muscle rather than an anabolic state, which would mean we're gaining muscle, which is what we're looking for, right? If you're breaking down muscle as you're recovering, that's not a good thing, period. That should just be common sense. Next is gonna be sleep issues. Because our nervous system is so revved up all the time, we pretty much, to put it in layman's terms, we are always kind of have that rush of adrenaline going because you've been working out so much that your body has to do so much to recover that you're just going to be revved up all the time. So you're going to have difficulty sleeping. You're going to wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and not be able to go back to sleep. Some people just may consider that to be random, but I promise you, if you're really in a kind of period of heightened training levels, like if you've really been going hard for a couple weeks or months or even days, this isn't going to be a coincidence. So just kind of be on the lookout for that too. Another thing is going to be loss of appetite or weight gain. And this is going to go back to the cortisol I talked about. So that's why I wanted to kind of bring that up at the beginning, is because cortisol, like I said, is the stress hormone. It's generally going to increase ghrelin levels. So this is another hormone. And this hormone is basically going to stimulate hunger. So if you've ever wondered why when you're stressed, you start to crave foods or just eat a shitload of food, this is because cortisol is raising that hormone. And combine that with cortisol's other effects, that's going to really cause some rapid weight gain if you're doing it the wrong way. And then also loss of appetite similarly is hormonal problems. So if you start to have eating problems, even if they're a little bit slight, some hunger kind of shifts in your hunger levels, again, that could be something else to look for. Another thing is just our immune system is going to be suppressed. So you're going to get sick more often. Put it simply as that, like I said, elevated stress hormones like cortisol, we're going to have a lot of muscle damage too. So our immune system is going to have to go to that. When we wear down our bodies in the weight room and on the court, our body's gonna be so focused on fighting off that inflammation, any other type of sickness that we may be exposed to is going to be a lot more, our body's gonna be a lot more vulnerable to it, right? So this isn't gonna be something that is significant with the regular workload if you let your body recover, but once we start to compound it and compound it, that's when it's gonna start to get serious. Also is depression. Like depression is a legit side effect of overtraining syndrome. And considering that psychological stress also adds to overtraining, like the more stressed out you are psychologically, the more that overtraining syndrome is going to be prevalent. It's gonna turn into a cycle. So the more you overtrain, the more you get depressed, the more you get depressed, the more you overtrain. Next thing you know, you're in this very vicious cycle. And then of course, as you probably guessed by now, decreased performance. So I'll save that for last because that should just be obvious by now. If you're getting sick more often, you can't sleep, you're rapidly gaining weight, you're depressed, of course your performance is going to suffer a little bit. And this is, you'll see this on the court, it'll just be kind of a feel, and I'll get to that later on how you can kind of, without doing any measures or anything scientific at all, you can just kind of feel when you're overtraining. So I'll get to that at the end. Moving on to the signs and symptoms of overtraining, how you can kind of tell if you're overtraining. I think the big key is that we do it on a holistic kind of scale. So I'm going to give you some of the ways that you can assess like how ready you are, if you're overtraining, whatever it may be. And I just want to say that you shouldn't take, what I don't want you to do is just take one of them and use it as the sole deciding factor. So that's not the way to go. What we really want to do is consider all of these things, especially the last one that I'm going to mention is going to be the biggest thing that you can kind of assess for overtraining. So with that being said, I'll kind of go from the gold standards, like the most scientific ones, all the way down to the ones that you can do with no equipment, no knowledge at all. And all of these are extremely valuable, so you got to consider all of them that you can. So the gold standards, not really applicable to you guys for the most part, so I won't say too much about them. The testosterone to cortisol ratio, if you have higher cortisol levels relative to testosterone, may be a red flag. So it's a little bit tough to test. Not everyone's going to have a salivary cortisol test and testosterone test, so I'm not going to go too deep onto that. One that you really can apply in your daily life, though, is heart rate. So if you wake up in the morning, and we measure that every single morning, our resting heart rate when we wake up, and it starts to get elevated a bit, this may be something that's going to signal that we're overtraining. Same thing with what we call heart rate variability, which is the amount of time in between each beat. So this is basically a measure of our autonomic nervous system. So Yosef, we talked about this on another episode. Do you remember? I doubt you remember what number episode that was.
Yeah.
But I think the title was like Take Control of Your Nervous System. So we want this to be high. We want this heart rate variability to be high because that means our autonomic nervous system, which basically just brings us up and brings us down, fight or flight or resting. When our heart rate variability is high, that means our autonomic nervous system is being very responsive, it's healthy, it's doing well. But when our heart rate variability is low, so we have decreased variability between our heartbeats, that means our central nervous system is going to be tired and we're constantly being controlled by that fight or flight sympathetic nervous system, and that's no good. Like I said, if you consistently have basically adrenaline pumping at all times, you can see how that probably wouldn't be good for your body. And even kind of monitoring heart rate recovery, so this is how long it takes after you do say a sprint, if you find that your heart rate is staying higher for a little bit longer, this may be another sign. And all these, other than heart rate variability, you probably need a heart rate strap for that one. The other two you can literally just feel by taking your pulse. Just literally Google how to take pulse. It's simple. Do it every morning when you wake up. And this is a good little monitor of if you're overtrained or if you're giving yourself a healthy workload. Another one is vertical jump. So I know it's a little bit tough to just measure vertical jump. It does take some technology, I guess. But you can get the My Jump app, I believe it's called, on the App Store. It's like $4.99. Give you the exact, it's very reliable. It'll give you the exact jump height. So a ton of studies kind of note this relationship between, actually I didn't read through all these studies because I had to pay for them, so don't really take this for like a 100% proven relationship, but it's something I've seen in a lot of studies. It kind of notes the relationship between vertical jump and overtraining. So maybe if your cortisol levels are high, if your heart rate variability is low, all these other signs of overtraining are going to correlate or have a relationship with lower vertical jump. And it makes sense, right? So if we can't get as high on our vertical jump, we're likely fatigued. It seems to make sense. So maybe measuring your vertical jump before each session, if it's significantly lower, a couple inches lower than it normally would be, maybe take a little bit easier. But again, don't use this as the one sign because we're gonna have to consider everything.
Can I interject right there real quick?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of times with vertical jump programs that they have like a designated spot in the program where they kind of expect the vertical to not be as high because they're focusing more on like developing that strength. So how do you think that can play a part in that? Like, do you think that would have as much as a like an impact on on like being able to see if it's related to stress, or is it something that can be like easily identifiable between the two?
No, that's a really good question. I think one of the benefits that I talked about in the beginning, I said I was going to get into it. This is a perfect way to get into it, is controlled overreaching.
Yeah.
So we almost want to bring ourselves into overtraining a bit, so your vertical jump should go down.
Yeah.
Because we're going to bounce up so far, like we're going to be 100%. You're going to overreach down to like 80%, and then you're going to bounce up to like 110% during that next deload week when you lower the volume. But to get back to kind of answering the question, this is why it's important to take it day to day before any of your workouts, because even when you are in a phase where you're expecting your vertical jump to go down, if you're taking it every single day and you see like a constant significant decrease, maybe a little bit of a decrease is expected because you're purposefully controlled overreaching, but if you see like a pretty big dip in your vertical jump, and I say vertical jump, it really can be any measure, sprints, whatever it may be, just because it's a really easy way to test the how well our central nervous system is working. So that's definitely a good question. Take it every day for sure. If you're going to do it, don't just be like, oh, my vertical jump is normally 35, but I've been doing strength training for 3 weeks. I'm tired as hell on purpose. And now my vertical jump's 30. So that must mean I have overtraining syndrome. Not necessarily the case. So really be consistent with that. If you're going to use that measure, I like that. And then that kind of gets me into my last sign. It's more of like a method for me. It's just kind of the gut feeling. And I think this is honestly the best the best way that you can gauge if you're overtraining or not. It's just a simple mental check. Like if you're unmotivated, if you're out of it, if you're not as focused, if everything just feels harder, if you're not playing as well on the court, or you're not having fun with anything, this is going to be probably the most telltale sign of overtraining syndrome for me. Without having to measure your heart rate variability, without having to measure your vertical jump, I think we all know our bodies extremely well when it comes down to it. And this is the perfect time to use that knowledge of your body to your advantage. So once you kind of start to get into that mental fog and you just feel less motivated, take a break. Like, I know you hear all this stuff. It's like, nah, never let up. Like, push through it. If you want to make it to where you want to make it, like, you have to go as hard as you possibly can. That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. Like, the main thing for me and for our bodies is you have to work smarter than you're going to work hard. We're going to work hard, but only to the extent that it's smart. So please, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this, and I know your previous beliefs are conflicting with this for a lot of you guys listening to this, please, if you feel tired, if you feel like you're overtraining, take a break. I'm not gonna emphasize it with that, because I'm trying to keep this episode somewhat clean. But please, just like take even one day off, and we'll get into how to prevent it. But just know your body and know when it's telling you something. So finish it off, getting into how to prevent overtraining. For me, it's just about, again, knowing your body, know how much volume and intensity you can take. Never really have an acute spike in your workload. So especially right now, COVID, all basketball has been canceled pretty much. If you jump right back into the gym when they open up and you're playing games on the weekend and you're lifting 5 days a week, that acute spike is not only going to put you at a much bigger chance for injury, but you're likely going to get overtraining syndrome. It's just simple as that. And it's not even just now. It doesn't have to be as drastic as that. Let's say the season ends, you take a week or two off, and then you jump back into it, your normal training load, you're going to be way bigger. You're going to have way bigger of a risk for overtraining syndrome. And that's just something that you have to avoid. You have to progress back up. I know it sucks. I would love to just be able to jump right into the highest intensity possible, but you really have to be smart. Number two, get better sleep. I feel like I say this on every single topic that relates to performance, but sleep is the best drug that is legal. And no, it's the best drug that's legal or illegal. And it, by sleeping 7 hours a night, at least, obviously I would shoot for more, but at least 7 hours a night, you're going to give your body more time to recover. So if you're at 100%, you go down to 80% with your workout. That sleep is, if you get enough sleep, it could take you back to 100%. If you don't, it could take you to 90%, and now your next workout's at 90%, and you're just going to keep going down and down and down, and it's a cycle. Three, monitor your workload in the weight room, on the court, in school. So this doesn't have to be like I would do with like literally measuring how much volume and intensity I'm lifting in the weight room, and how many contacts I'm doing in terms of my plyometrics and how long I'm on the court. But just have kind of an internal feel for how much work you're doing overall, and keep it kind of constant. And if it's too much, if you start feeling mentally fogged and fatigued and out of it and unmotivated, lower it a little bit and keep it there until you can increase it or can slowly progress it up. So just kind of monitor how much work you're doing. That also comes back to schoolwork. So if you have finals that week, that's going to contribute to that kind of holistic workload. So you may have to lower how much you're working out. So it's really every stress to your body has to be monitored. Another thing is just eat better food. So inadequate calories is going to make it tough for our body to repair what we've broken down. Simple as that. Nutritional deficiencies, same thing. Our body's just not going to run as well, period. And if you're doing those things and you know how much your body can take and you kind of stay at or under that level, that's, you're going to avoid overtraining as much as possible. So again, there are times when you want to kind of overshoot and go into that overtrained zone a little bit, so you, and then bounce back and get even higher, but that will take very careful kind of programming and a good break after that. And I know, talking to most of you guys listening to this, you guys hate taking a day off, let alone a week. So you're gonna need those deload weeks if you're really gonna be controlled overreaching. So that's a topic for another time. We won't get too deep into that. But just really, if you are overtraining, how can you recover? Just, I would say, depends on the magnitude, but lower your training load by about 50%. The research is kind of differs on this one. It's like 50 to 70%. And then kind of work up from there slowly. Maybe get back to the point you were at. Maybe never get back there because that was too much for you. That's fine. Eat well, sleep at least 7 hours per night, and just minimize psychological stress. Learn how to make stress your friend. That'll be another episode probably.
Yeah.
And just like, and really just know yourself. That's the main thing for me, is just understand how much your body can take and don't push your body past that. Don't spend 8 hours in the gym just kind of messing around. Have maybe 2 hours on your intense days of intense, purposeful work, and don't just spend too much time in the gym and worrying about if you're not working out enough. No, just give it your all for a couple hours. If you need a break, take a break, and be smart about it. The main thing for me is I just want to raise awareness that most people are overworking more than they're underworking. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner your work is going to be more effective. And because when you're overtraining, your workouts are not effective. So I'd rather undershoot than overshoot that kind of genetic maximum for how much we can work out. Or not even genetic, just how much your body can take. So pretty much wraps it up for me. Hope you guys kind of stayed with me and got something out of that. But I'm glad that you guys will at least get someone in your ear telling you that you need to work less sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure that's all very much appreciated by everybody, to be honest. And I think for those guys that, I just want to give a few quick points for those guys that really just like hate taking a day off, yeah, and just like can't imagine not doing anything for a whole entire day. Some things that I would recommend that you guys can do is just foam rolling, stretching, practice yoga, yeah, meditating. You could even do ball handling at your house, or just like some type of light form of skill work. Watching film, definitely. Getting extra sleep. All of these things are things that you could do productively or actively. that will also still carry on to improving your overall game, or like you as a person overall, instead of just constantly just batting away at your body through overtraining. So those are just a few things that you can do during these days when you're just trying to take some time off. And something that we could definitely go into more topic or more detail later in another topic. But just for those people that just can't, absolutely won't take a day off, those are some things that you guys can do instead just to keep yourself busy.
Yeah, and I think I'm personally kind of like that. Like, especially in high school, I literally would not take a day off. Like, even I would plan an off day and I would end up putting up like 500 shots. And it definitely hurt my progress. And now that I've kind of learned to sit back and kind of just cool it on those days, play some 2K if I want to, and just kind of be happy on those days, happy that I'm taking an off day, I think that's helped my performance and recovery leaps and bounds.
Exactly. Yeah, those days, those like quote-unquote mental days are really necessary because they kind of like make you feel like you're having fun again with it. So like Drake said, the moment I stop having fun with it, I'll be done with it. Like, if you want to try to keep that fun and that love for the game as long as possible, because overworking can really just make it feel like more of a job instead of something that you do out of passion. Definitely. So that's something that you definitely want to avoid.
Fact.
But yeah, I think all of that stuff that you just mentioned, all that research is just pure gold for our listeners, and I'm sure that they all appreciate it. And hopefully they take it and apply it to their own personal lives and their games, so they can also experience the benefits of it.
Yeah, and like you said, personal lives, it's not just basketball. So whatever walk of life it may be, there's a potential that you're going to be, I don't know if it would be considered overtraining, but there's a potential that you're overworking yourself. So just keep all of these kind of points in mind, not only while you're hooping, but once that ball stops rolling and you get into whatever endeavor, keep that in mind too, because there's always going to be a time when we're overworking ourselves. So just continue to kind of monitor that as you go throughout your life.
Yeah. You could even use those days to focus on things that outside of basketball that you feel like you've been lacking on, like such as school or maybe some family time, or maybe you haven't been giving your girlfriend enough attention lately.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Just social time.
Exactly. So like, try to catch up on that. And then once you feel ready to go again, you can get back in the gym and then kind of progress that in a better like using all the strategies that we just talked about, apply those, and then now you'll be able to maintain that level of work and then still experience all those gains and benefits from the training that you've been going through.
Definitely.
Instead of having to take these days off on a regular basis just because you're going too hard all the time.
Facts. Big facts. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I think I mentioned like three things that I said we would have separate episodes on, so we'll get to those ASAP.
I was writing them down as we were going.
All right, bet. Yeah, so we'll get to those ASAP. We have a huge list of stuff we want to cover and people we want to have on, so definitely be excited for what we have to come.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like always, stay safe. Enjoy that time off, and then make sure you're still trying to get ways in. Make sure you're still trying to get some work in some type of way that you can stay as productive and ahead of the curve as you can, but don't overtrain.
I was just about to say that. Do not overtrain, please.
Yeah.
All right, everyone stay safe.